You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody? Anthony Cosenza here with CincyJungle.com and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast, coming at you a little later than usual in terms of when we go live after a game, but I had some stuff to tend to for a little bit, and, you know, obviously it gives us time to process some things. And then also our friends Ace and Zim on the Cincy Jungle podcast channel, they were going live earlier. I think it was just Ace, because a big congratulations are in order to Zim. I believe his wedding day is today. So he was not only got to celebrate a big moment in his life, one of the biggest in life, but also he got to witness, or I don't know how much he got to watch, but he got to see the Bengals win. I'm sure he saw the score at some point. So congratulations to Zim on your big day, and congratulations to the Cincinnati Bengals, who go into Detroit, definitely a potential trap game, had all the makings of it, even looked like it early, but they go in there, they handle business very, very well, take it to a Lions team that is just really, really struggling. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pour a lot of things on the Lions, because Bengals fans, the Cincinnati Bengals, even recently have been on that side of things. And it's nice to feel like, hey, you know, at one point we were getting frustrated that the game was only 10-0 at halftime, right? So, you know, and we've been on the other side of things where, you know, you take the shellacking and it's not fun. I will say this, there were just a lot of earmarks and a lot of plays by Detroit that just unfortunately shows you why they are where they are at 0-6. I mean, there were penalties that were just, you know, they're trying to go for it on fourth downs. They get a penalty and they have to punt, and, you know, they just couldn't get out of their own way, and Goff was struggling and all kinds of different things. The Bengals defense played outstanding today. The offense played outstanding in the second half. There were some mistakes there, but overall a thorough, thorough win for the Cincinnati Bengals as they beat the Lions 34-11, a little bit of an odd score on Detroit side because of the 2-point conversion at the very end there, touchdown at the end. Really all 11 points were kind of in garbage time. That touchdown drive was largely against Bengals backup defenders, and I mean, they were in cruise control really once the third quarter hit. You know, they got that field goal before halftime, had the 10-0 lead, and then, you know, they came back out and just really started firing on all cylinders that second half. Now, there were some issues in this game. Trey Hill getting the start at right guard, he had some issues, unfortunately, but you know, Jackson Carmen came in. Then he ended up getting ill. We're still trying to find out more. It sounds like more of the dehydration type of situation, even though he's coming off the COVID list there. So interesting scenario there. But so the Bengals offensive line had some issues, kind of a rough day for Riley Reiff a little bit. Jonah Williams played pretty well. They were running the ball as they needed to. Joe Burrow took a couple of sacks, but, you know, he got out of some situations and made some plays. So not a perfect day, but a really, really good one, a really sound game by the Bengals here. So, yeah, you see Joe Burrow here. Seemed like it's a good poisoning, but I think it's food poisoning was that was what that typo meant there. And yeah, and here's our buddy Stuart Monty. Joe Burrow spread those touchdowns around. He sure did. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Three touchdowns on the day. He did have an interception. There were a couple of other throws that were a little ill-advised, but for the most part, a really good day by Joe Burrow. We'll share this tweet by Field Yates of ESPN. Joe Burrow getting multiple touchdowns today joins Dan Marino as the only quarterbacks in their first or second season to throw multiple touchdowns in each of his team's first six games. So Joe Burrow doing work. And, you know, so was Ja'Marr Chase. So was Joe Mixon, who's coming back from an ankle issue. Another great stat for Joe Burrow there, joining elite company. Ja'Marr Chase, we've mentioned, has joined elite company with his performances so far this year, talking about, you know, Randy Moss and others that he has joined in terms of the company and his performances. So he played well. There were a couple of throws where you go, oh boy, and there were some other throws where there was a play at the end there where, you know, he takes a sack as the Bengals were moving downfield, ended up atoning for it, but takes a sack and, you know, probably wanted to see him throw that away, you know, in that situation. But for the most part, a good day from Joe Burrow and the offense, a great day from the defense for the Bengals. You see here, Joe Burrow, 19 of 29, 271 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. He did get sacked twice. But the QB rating overall is 115.7. Brandon Allen throwing one pass to Auden Tate, and Auden Tate scores the touchdown. So he's got a 135.4 rating. So a very, very good day by the Bengals quarterbacks who this math is off here on the total passing yards. You can see there it's actually 20 of 30 for 278 passing yards. I don't know if they're equating sacks in there. They might be doing that, the 22 yards there. But I think they are. They're just kind of taking net passing yards. But the two quarterbacks, you know, threw for 278 total yards, four total touchdowns, one interception, and a combined quarterback rating of 122. So you got to like that. Goff, on the other hand, 28 of 42, missed a couple of throws, just was kind of out of sorts. Only got one sack, but he was pressured pretty often. And a lot of those came from Trey Hendrickson, who, oh, by the way, was going up against Penei Sewell on many of those. One, his sack came when they actually tried to block him with TJ Hawkinson. So that didn't work well for Detroit there. You know, he kind of blew past him there, but had other pressures and hits on Goff from Penei Sewell blocking him there. So 28 of 42, 202, only a 4.8 yards per completion average for Jared Goff, and a very, very pedestrian 67.8 rating. Not the kind of stuff that'll get you a win. You see Joe Mixon, this is what they want on the ground. They want balance. You get the 270 through the air, a couple of big plays to Chase, and obviously three touchdowns, putting you in the end zone three times there through the air. And then, of course, you get a monster day from Joe Mixon, 18 carries, 94 yards, 5.2 yards per carry. Had a couple of nice gains, the long being of 18. Also got a touchdown through the air. We'll talk about that in a second. Joe Burrow doing some work with his legs, by the way, working on sliding, working on getting out of bounds. So made a couple of nice plays with his legs. Chris Evans had a couple of nice runs as well as a great catch to open the game for the Bengals for the touchdown reception. Four carries, 18 yards, 4.5 yards per carry there. Trevion Williams, not as much room to run for him. Six carries, 13 yards there. But the Bengals get 36 carries, 142 yards, just a tick under 4 yards per carry. You'll take that. You'll take that, especially against a team that is struggling like Detroit, and especially when you're able to hit cruise control and pull your starters midway through the fourth quarter. So you got to like the balance the Bengals showed there. Again, Ja'Marr Chase just making play after play. Two deep balls here. Almost was able to break the second one for a touchdown. No touchdowns from him this week, but two big catches. Again, 24.3 yards per catch. Just an outstanding season, rookie season out of Ja'Marr Chase. Four catches, 97 yards. The long was the 53-yarder. Four catches on six targets. He did have a drop that ended up being intercepted earlier in the game. He did kind of show some hustle and come back and make the tackle. That was kind of a play early in the game where you go, oh boy, but made up for it late. The two big plays were huge for the Cincinnati Bengals. One was the one before halftime that set up the field goal, and then one was later in the game in the second half to set up a touchdown. So two big plays from him. Joe Mixon, five catches, 59 yards, the 40-yarder, a thing of beauty. And this is also where Chase atoned for the early mistake. And killer block while Joe Mixon. It was a fourth and inches. Great play design where they do a bootleg. They do a play action bootleg and they throw it to Mixon, who is wide open by himself in the flat. And he starts galloping up the sideline and there's Chase and a defender, and Chase just puts the guy off his feet. The guy ended up somehow getting right back up and almost making a tackle on Mixon, but a great, great block by Ja'Marr Chase on that touchdown catch. And obviously great work by Mixon getting 160 yards plus from scrimmage today. So, you gotta like that. Chris Evans, three catches, 49 yards, the 24-yarder, a beauty. Almost looked like he was maybe going to be overthrown by Burrow, but that touchdown was the first points the Bengals have scored on their opening drives this year. The first points. And if you listen to our show Wednesday, and I don't know why you wouldn't have, if you listen to our show Wednesday, you would have remembered that I said the Bengals need to get on the Lions early. They need to score on that first possession. They need to get on this team early. While they scored on the first possession, they kind of were unable to do a lot of different things in the first half on offense. Really had a long dry spell, but did get that initial touchdown, which I think was huge. T. Higgins, three catches, 44 yards, had a 23-yarder. C.J. Uzama had the touchdown, and I don't know if you saw the video. He was high-fiving a fan in the stands and ended up accidentally knocking the phone out of his hand, and Joe Mixon picked it up and was like kind of celebrating in the phone, and then they gave it back to the fans. So pretty fun stuff there. Auden Tate, the one catch for 7 yards, but it was for a touchdown. And kudos to Auden Tate, too, because he drew a flag before that to get them deep into the red zone. So Tyler Boyd, one catch, 7 yards, not a big day from him, only three targets his way. Again, it was Chase and Mixon being the big targets here, and then Higgins getting six targets as well, but didn't come down with all the catches there. So sample targeted in the red zone, that was kind of a drop slash knock away there. That is what it is. But then you look here, let's go back up to, because we're going to get to the Bengals defense here in just a second. Look at the rushing attack, if you even want to call it that, from the Detroit Lions. 13 carries for 24 yards for DeAndre Swift. 1.8 yards per carry. Jamal Williams, four carries, 11 yards. 2.8 yards per carry. Jared Goff, one carry for 1 yard. The Lions had 18 carries for 36 yards, 2 yards per carry. They did get the touchdown on the ground with DeAndre Swift. Their long gain was 9 yards. That, to me, was a huge, huge point in this game. We can talk about Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon, and rightfully so, Ja'Marr Chase. But that is a huge, huge stat there. 18 carries, 36 yards, 2 yards per carry. Just absolutely stifled the Lions rushing attack. And Hawkinson was the big, the team's leading receiver, eight catches, 74 yards. Swift was doing stuff through the air as well. Five catches, 43 yards. Khalif Raymond had a couple of nice catches, six catches for 37, but it was aside from the one 33 yarder to Hawkinson, it was a lot of stuff that was in front. They didn't really take shots downfield. And they didn't really have a lot of opportunity. They didn't put themselves in opportunities to really do that. Did the Lions, they just kind of, we're trying to play controlled. It worked for a couple of quarters, but as the defense just kept coming after them and the Bengals opened up things in the second half, they just couldn't keep up. So no fumbles. There was the one interception of Goff from Logan Wilson. That was a crazy one. Von Bell ripped it out of the receiver's hands there, and it just kind of fluttered out out of Amon-Ra St. Brown's hands, and Logan Wilson was right there. Could have maybe been called a fumble, but it was called an interception there. So, and that one really changed the complexion of the game there. You know, you were kind of feeling like Detroit was hanging in there, and it didn't lead to points for the Bengals, but if they were kind of down there looking to score, and it was a big play in the game. Von Bell, you see there, 7 total tackles, a pass defended, which was that one that I mentioned. Logan Wilson playing a great game again this week after the linebackers didn't do much last week. 6 total tackles, 5 of them solo, with 2 for loss, and of course the interception. Owuzie just continues to play really, really good football. He seems to be everywhere. At the end of the game in the press conference, he said that he's basically, since being in Cincinnati and being in this on this team and in this system, has answered all of his prayers, I think were some of his words, and that he's playing some of the best football he has ever played, according to himself. So luckily for all of us that he signed with the Bengals and is healthy and is playing well. 5 total tackles, all of them solo, a pass defended, a really nice pass defended. It was actually a pretty decent ball by Goff that was floated towards the sideline. Receiver got behind Owuzie a little bit, and he just leapt and knocked it away. Really, really nice play. And then, you know, Joe Bachy getting some time later in the game, 5 total tackles for him. Reader having a nice game, 3 tackles. Hilton had a pretty decent game, 3 tackles. Bates, 3 tackles. So Larry Ogunjobi was doing things early on. So Hendrickson, got to highlight him. He now, with that sack, he had 2 total tackles. With that sack, and then you see two total quarterback hits, so I mentioned that. But with that sack, he now has 5.5 on the season, which matches the career high of Carl Lawson's last year. So he is doing a lot of now, and he credit to him for sure, but also credit to his defensive line mates, Ogunjobi, Sam Hubbard. There was a play that was just outstanding that I noted it on Twitter. I don't know if you guys remember. It's not something that's really going to show up on a stat sheet, but essentially the Lions ran a play where they faked the handoff. It was actually a very similar play to what Mixon on his touchdown catch that the Bengals called later in the game. But it was, you know, play action, boots out, and what happened is Hubbard and Wilson had this thing perfectly defended. Hubbard kind of played in space, sat there, and then as he felt or hopefully knew that he had help behind him, Goff, you know, gave the ball off. And as Hubbard started to come in on him, and then Logan Wilson tackled the receiver for a loss. And it's not something that, you know, you see the tackles for loss there. It shows up on the stat sheet, but it was just a great, great play that ended up ultimately forcing a punt early in the game. Just an outstanding play. And Trey Hendrickson is doing some great things on this Bengals defense. Quiet day from BJ Hill. Hubbard was in there a couple of times, but overall, you know, aside from that one play, he did have one quarterback hit, and he did have a tackle for loss, which was his only one. But Hendrickson was the only one who had the sack on the day. Logan Wilson getting the interception. Oruwariye. I'm probably butchering that name. For Detroit, had the interception there. Bengals are still trying to figure out the kick return situation. Trenton Irwin did have a long of a 15-yarder, but they're still trying to figure that out. And he came in there after Darius Phillips. I don't know what he was doing on that punt return that he had there. They're still trying to figure that out. So the punt return situation is still one in flux, and, you know, not much opportunity for the Bengals to get, and Brandon Wilson to get, big kickoff returns, because the Lions just didn't score very often. I will say this, man, the punter, Jack Fox for Detroit, he was hitting just bombs. He punted 6 times, 333 yards. One of them was a touchback. One of them dropped inside the 20. He had a long of 64 with his average at 55.5 yards per punt. So just booming him. And oh, by the way, look at Kevin Huber, three punts, 163 yards. He averaged 54.3 with a long of 58. So he was kicking the ball really well also. So I know it's an odd thing to kind of point out, but the punters just absolutely killed it. Good day for Bengals kickers as well. Former or current, Evan McPherson, 2 of 2, hit both of his field goals, and both of those were big. Hit all 4 extra points, 10 total points for Evan McPherson. Good to see him get back on the right side of things. One of those extra points did doink off the first one, doinked off the left, upright, and in. But 100% of all of his kicks, field goals, and extra points made. Austin Seibert, former Bengal, now kicking for Detroit, made his only field goal, and they opted to go for 2, so he didn't get an extra point. But so a 100% day from Bengals kickers, former or current, in this one here. So look, the Bengals, I mentioned that Burrow had that interesting stat with Dan Marino throwing multiple touchdowns in his first 6 games in either the first or second year there. And then the other things I mentioned, Trey Hendrickson getting as many sacks already through 6 games, 5.5, that Carl Lawson had as the team leader last year. So that's good news. And then of course the Bengals at 4-2, those 4 wins tie what they did last year. So at 4-11-1. So the Bengals are headed in the right direction, and they handled a team that they should have handled for sure.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And if you look,
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here, I'll show you my little, where my mouse cursor is. You see there, scored in every single quarter. It was a little frustrating in those first 2 quarters because you feel like they just were not doing things methodically all that well. And then all of a sudden they shot out of a cannon, scoring 24 points in the final 2 quarters, 10 in the third quarter, and 14 in the fourth quarter. Just exploded. And, you know, by the time the middle of the fourth quarter was rolling around, the Bengals had a firm grip on the game and rested their starters. I want to show this here. This is the play-by-play just to show some of the drives here for the Bengals. So they score the touchdown, okay, early in the first quarter. This is where things have to change as the Bengals get set to potentially, well, they are going to take on the Baltimore Ravens, but they potentially need to get this heading in a different direction in terms of these dry spells and in terms of their early performances in games. You see here, they got the touchdown. Great. Then they get the interception on off the tip pass. Then it's punt. So they went 1, 2, 3, 4 drives in a row in the first half that were interception, punt, punt, punt. And then they get the field goal at the end of the half, which was huge. And then they did the deal that they love to do where they scored a field goal right before halftime, and then they get the touchdown coming right out of halftime. And that also, I mean, the stifling of the run game, but this, how they sandwich those scoring drives, that's been a huge key to their 4-2 start this year. Huge, 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 huge. But these dry spells, as you play the Baltimores, the Kansas Cities, you play, you know, Cleveland, you play other teams, you just can't have these dry spells where you go 4 drives in the first half in a row that are turnover, punt, punt, punt. So that's one of the things they have to clean up. But then as you look in the second half, look at this: touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, end of game. So then it's just super feast or famine, right? I mean, it's touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown. That's 24 points in 4 straight drives. That's what you want. So it's just a matter of what needs to be fixed. Some of the play calls early were questionable, but as you saw, you know, the fourth down play to Joe Mixon was an outstanding call. They dialed up seemingly the big plays to Chase at the right time, and there they are, 4-2, and they are just in a nice, nice position in the division. They're in second place looking up at the Baltimore Ravens, but some things have taken place to help the Bengals on this Sunday. There's some other things currently taking place as we're on the air here. Many of you are probably watching the Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Seattle Seahawks. Real quick, before we get out of here, let's get to the scoreboard so we can see exactly what is going on or what has happened so far here. It looks like, I'll refresh this here. Let me get that back up. It looked like maybe we're still scoreless. I haven't been watching this game, obviously, because I've been doing the show. But a very, very interesting day for the AFC North. It is scoreless, apparently, at Heinz Field here. 0-0. So the Seahawks taking on the Steelers. The Steelers appear to be in the red zone right now. So that is what's currently happening. Obviously, a game that, I mean, the Steelers right now are at the bottom of the division at 2-3, but they win here and they'll be tied with the Cleveland Browns because, and by the way, interesting one tomorrow as well. The Bills take on the Titans. But here are some finals. Obviously, the Thursday nighter, Buccaneers beat the Eagles 28-22. Interesting side note on that. The Eagles went for 2 on that, and that line was, I believe that line was 6.5 on that one, or 7 points on that one. So Vegas knows for sure. That is, I saw that and I said, oh, wow. At any rate, Dolphins lose to the Jaguars in Europe there. Jaguars get their first win of the season. Urban Meyer gets his first win of the season, 23-20. The Dolphins, man, they have taken a big, big step backwards from the past couple of years there. Chiefs come back, score 21 unanswered, and beat the Washington football team 31-13. They were down 13-10 at one point in that game. The Rams all over The Giants 38-11. I'm personally happy about that one because I had Rams in my survival pool. Texans getting absolutely blown out by the Colts 31-3. That was my other potential choice. We know that the Bengals took it to the Lions 34-11. Packers handle the Bears 24-14. Chargers getting beat soundly by the Ravens in Baltimore 34-6. Everybody this week was talking about Justin Herbert and the Chargers and blah, blah, blah. They got beat handily by the Ravens. And that is who and where the Bengals play next week. So a tough matchup to be sure. With the Bengals winning at 4-2, they are in second place in the division behind the Ravens, who are 5-1. The Vikings beat the Panthers in overtime. It's been a crazy year for the Minnesota Vikings. Beat them in overtime, 34-28 on a walk-off touchdown. Cardinals beat up the Browns, 37-14. And that, not only did they take a beating on the scoreboard, but the Browns physically took a beating. Odell Beckham Jr. left the game briefly, came back. Baker Mayfield took a really nasty hit and had his injured left arm kind of dug into the turf. He was in pain, did come back and play. Kareem Hunt helped off the field. It looked like it was maybe a calf, Achilles, foot type of injury. Apparently he was pretty upset. I haven't had the chance to look too far into that. And obviously there's probably going to be final word on that later on, but not a great sign for Kareem Hunt and the Browns there. The Raiders take care of the Broncos. Broncos lose three straight. Raiders bounce back after a tumultuous week where their coach resigns. So 34-24, Raiders beat the Broncos, and Cowboys beat the Patriots 35-29. The Patriots are 2-4. Another losing season so far, second straight under Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. So Cowboys are 5-1. The team's on a bye, the Jets, Falcons, 49ers, and Saints. So they stayed put how they were. So again, the Bengals are in second place in the AFC North at 4-2, behind the Baltimore Ravens, who are 5-1. The Cleveland Browns are 3-3, right behind the Bengals. And the Steelers are currently playing right now, sitting at 2-3. If they win, they would be tied with the Browns at the bottom of the division. Or if they lose, they would have that designation all on their own. There are a couple of questions here. I'm seeing Lindsay and others saying, do we know about Mixon? Do we know about Jaxon Carmen? I mentioned Jaxon Carmen earlier in the show. Jaxon Carmen was on the COVID list earlier this week, was cleared to play. Apparently he vomited on the field today. Some people were saying maybe possible dehydration, not COVID symptoms, maybe food poisoning, who knows. But we'll have to kind of continue to monitor that. Mixon, it looked like, I don't know if that he retweaked the ankle or if it was kind of like a chest side type of injury, but I think at that point they kind of said, you know, we're in cruise control here, and we'll rest him regardless. But a big day of work for him, and so you know, the Bengals came out of that pretty relatively healthy. They came out of that game pretty healthy, it would seem. Not a lot of big issues there, which is what you want. You cruise to an easy, you know, big victory there. Four possession game. And then, you know, you get out of there with minimal injuries and whatnot. We'll have to keep the eye on Mixon and Carmen and maybe a couple of others, but it seems as if the Bengals came out of that game relatively unscathed. The one thing, there was a reporter, Dove Cleveman or Kleiman, on Twitter, tried to make something out of a Logan Wilson post-game comment. Logan Wilson said something to the effect, I guess, of, you know, he's Lamar Jackson's dangerous, and, you know, he's, I don't know, something to the effect of he's like a running back there, but he also called him, you know, also a running back and a good passer. And then, of course, words got twisted by some of the media members, and they're trying to maybe create something that wasn't actually said. Logan Wilson came out on his Twitter account afterwards saying, basically, he nicely said, I didn't say that. Don't twist my words. Obviously he's an elite passer too. So they're trying to make drama where there shouldn't, where there isn't any. And so at any rate, it should be a very fun week. It hopefully will be a good game between the Bengals and the Ravens. Zach Taylor has not beat the Ravens in his time in Cincinnati. He's beaten every other AFC North team at least once. Well, the Browns and the Steelers, but he's beaten them at least once, the Steelers twice, and he has not had a win against Baltimore. So we'll see, obviously, a big, big week ahead for them. I'm seeing Chris Higdon saying the Ravens got banged up today. And like I said, the Browns got really beat up today, not only in the game itself, but physically they look to be experiencing some injuries. Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. I know it was a little bit later. We have a lot of live listeners, which is awesome. Appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed Ace's post-game breakdown on the Cincy Jungle podcast channel as well. And congratulations to our boy Zim, who apparently got married today. So congrats. Make sure if you follow him or whatever, send him a congrats. And thanks everybody for tuning in. A great, great win by the Cincinnati Bengals today. A lot to be happy about. 34-11, handled their business, did not overlook this Detroit Lions team. And now they get set to take on the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore next week. So a big one to be sure. Before we get out of here, I want to just remind folks that we are on all the major audio podcast channels on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all of those. So subscribe to the Cincy Jungle podcast channel and leave us a rating if you would. Of course, you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, and the icon is right over here, or right over here, I guess. So click that, subscribe, and click the bell to be notified when we go live so you can get join in on the live fun, join in and download the stuff as it comes out. I also need to tell you guys and gals about Symbol, SIMBULL.APP/OBI is the web address. You go there. This is where you can play a version of the stock market. It's a sports version of the stock market. You can buy shares of teams, whether it's the Bengals, whether it's, by the way, if you bought the Bengals early when we engaged in this partnership, you have made some big money. So go to symbol.app/OBI, use the promo code OBI, where you, if you deposit at least $100, that you get your deposit protected for 90 days. So a really cool deal. If you go in there and you invest in teams and maybe you lose a little money, your deposit is protected. So go check that out. Use the promo code OBI, of course, for Orange and Black Insider, and go have some fun, make some money, and invest in teams that you either are passionate about or you see a good opportunity to capitalize upon. Symbol, SIMBULL.APP/OBI. Go check it out. We are happy to be partnering with them through the regular season there. It's been awesome. So definitely go check it out and use that promo code. Take it easy, everybody. Have a great rest of your weekend. I'm going to go get some grub, some dinner, and hang out. But have a good rest of your evening, a good rest of your week. We'll be back this week with the Water Cooler Chat, the big show with John and myself. We'll be doing some listener questions. We're going to try and get some guests, etc. So enjoy. Thanks for all of your support. Have a great rest of your week.